The Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two. President's Day Monday, plenty of racing today, even with the severe weather. And actually, it occurs to me, with Steve Asmussen joining us, we've got plenty to talk about. But Steve, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
Steve, you're a Texas native, and I'm curious, in your life, when have you seen weather like this?
I have never witnessed weather like we are having in this part of the country. It is extremely odd, especially considering we're 13 days from March.
Exactly. I mean, there's been, if I think about Hot Springs, where, you know, in January years ago when they would run, you'd get frozen, you know, the freezing temperatures and the track would freeze and there'd be the occasional cancellation. But, I mean, this, and what's amazing, Steve, is how it's going to be sustained. The cold, you know, this stuff's going to fall and then it's not going to melt in 24 hours.
Right. Definitely. Unprecedented. I very much appreciate Oaklawn moving the stakes back and even made the later adjustment to moving
right. The
Razorback, Boyacoa, and Southwest to Sunday, which looks like a very good day. I think the most important thing at this point is to be able to get the horses in there safely ahead of time and give them a good chance.
Steve, I talked to Rick Hammerly last night, and Rick brought up a fair point about training. If you're not training, how much of a hindrance is it in terms of, keeping them right? Obviously, just tack walking for who knows how many days.
Well, the horses that we have for this coming weekend at Oaklawn are still at the fairgrounds.
So that makes it easier.
And we are going to miss training at the fairgrounds in the morning. They've already made that announcement. But it appears, looking at the weather, that Tuesday is going to be the only day that we will miss in New Orleans. So we have Jackie's Warrior, Finite, and Silver Prospector. And then they are... we will enter on Wednesday, and then we will make arrangements for travel whenever the roads are clear. But racing for them on Sunday looks good, and we've been very fortunate to be able to train them accordingly.
Nice. We'll catch up on some of the Oaklawn runners because after we talk about the stakes performers, and let's start with Saturday at Fairgrounds. And I just had Rich Migliori, who actually was talking about cash in the course of the conversation. But the ride by Joe Talamo, Steve, on Clairiere was a thing of beauty.
It really was. We were fortunate to pick up Joe for Midnight Bourbon for the LeComp. And people may forget, but he started his riding career at the fairgrounds.
Right.
Was actually leading rider as an apprentice at the fairgrounds. And it's a unique course, and I think it's the familiarity as well as his ability came into play.
She is about as, bred in the purple for Stone Street. There were so many nice ties, Steve, I thought Saturday. There was the race itself, the Rachel Alexandra, and here is a Banky Stone Street homebred, the wonderful Cavorting and Curlin. I mean, there were certain harmonies to winning this race.
Oh, as you mentioned, where do you start with, how special she is, her connections, and then to beat a quality field in a race like the Rachel Alexander. What Rachel Alexander means for racing and for Stone Street and for our stable, and then to do it with a Curlin filly out of Cavorting, Kieran, a great mare that Kieran McLaughlin trained for Stone Street, and he had commented on her every race since she had broke her maiden, and he is enjoying watching Cavorting's offspring run.
Well, and I'm sure he'd love to figure out a way to get Luis Saez aboard at some point, but right now it's Joe's. And of course, you know, you ran into Travel Column in the Goldenrod, you know, her second career start off the maiden win back at Churchill in November at the end of the fall meet. And how has she changed between November and now?
Well, you know, mentioned about her pedigree and just how in the purple she is, and everything about her pedigree, who she is physically, says time and distance is going to benefit her. You look at Curlin's career as well as Cavorting. They started out good, but ended up great, and we're expecting the same from her.
Nice. I mean, in terms of growth, physically, the
machine. Everything mentally, physically, everything going, coming together.
Nice.
At the right time. And as good as she is now, I honestly believe she's only halfway to where she's going to end up.
Well, and of course, the mile and the eighth and the offing for the Fairgrounds Oaks. And, you know, this is about as great a way to start the three-year-old season with this win. And now you just turn and point toward the Oaks next month. Awfully nice. Clairière, I don't know what else there to say. I was so impressed with the way Talamo, you know, was savvy to make sure to, you know, not leave her too much to do. And, you know, he had to avoid that tiring pace setter, the Amos filly that was stopping on the rail. He had to get around her. Then he went back inside. Then he came back out to nail Travel Column.
Joe's comments to me after the race, I thought were extremely accurate. He said she was like remote control. Where you wanted to be, she just put herself there. And I think the filly is all class. For her to handle that way in the race, Joe obviously made the right moves with her. But how she was to get her picture taken, to cool out, and this does not surprise her. I really like the presence about her. And the fact that she expects to have this kind of success.
Well, there's Clairière, 85 buyer on the speed scale, and mile in the eighth next for the Oaks, and then knock on wood, back to Churchill, where we know she is comfortable and likes the surface, and pointing toward the big Oaks. Steve, talk about what went on in the Risen Star
The Fairgrounds Oaks is a mile and a 16th. Again.
Oh, they keep it at a 16th. Okay.
Yeah, it's a mile and a 16th, which, you know, it's good to see her perform well at that distance. But I think everybody feels that adding to that will only benefit Clairière.
Well, and both of the both parts of the exacta with Travel Column, six plus lengths back to the third place finisher. The two of them really distinguished themselves coming out of the Rachel on Saturday. Talk about Midnight Bourbon, you mentioned, and the effort in the Risen Star.
Right. Another solid effort from him. I have nothing but respect for the top three finishers from both the LeCompte and the Risen Star. Feel like they're all three extremely serious three-year-olds and will have a lot to say in the division this year. All three of them grand-looking, huge pedigreed individuals. And Midnight Bourbon needed the LeCompte, got quite a bit out of it. I think that he will jump forward off of the Risen Star, being his third race back, going into the Louisiana Derby, and still feel like we're in the mix with him.
Yeah, and Derby, of course, little more added distance. You know, he attended the pace that was being set by Wright and Just, and just basically engaged with the top pair, and you know, Mandaloon kind of went on by, and Proxy and Midnight Bourbon fought to the wire with Proxy edging, you know, half a length.
I think it's a situation very similar to the Rachel Alexander, where the top two in the Rachel Alexander appeared to separate themselves.
Yeah.
And then in the Risen Star, it felt like the top three separated themselves and just came, was fortunate to come out on the right end of one of those, not necessarily the other.
Well, and on that topic, Steve, because we're going to talk about, I want you to talk about Sonneman and the performance as well that he turned in. The racetrack on Saturday, you had to attend the pace. You had to be within striking distance.
Well, I think that the racetrack was amazing for Saturday, considering that we were canceled
True.
On Thursday because
right.
of weather. And then the Friday card started off extremely wet. And for the fairgrounds and their crew to get it the shape that the racetrack was in Saturday was unbelievably fortunate. And I don't think that it's any mystery why horses like that are here and doing so well, you know. And then you mentioned Sonneman, you know, the opportunity to see and run against Maxfield, what an amazing physical that horse is, and to match his undefeated racing record is a pleasure to see. But all thanks go to the surface to allow this to happen.
Well, and Sonneman, what's your thoughts? I mean, he keeps turning in, you know, solid tries, and you know, you got him essentially mid-career, Don Adam shifting him to you, and you've tried him a couple different configurations and so forth. It feels like there's a nice stake win, you know, for him as an older horse somewhere.
It really does. I mean, his two performances against Maxfield are excellent. You know, I thought his breakout race was the two other than at Churchill in the fall knee, where he shook loose, so to speak, and got to a new level for us. And then his two runs against Maxfield been very respectable. Another Curlin, who there is no bigger fan in the world of Curlin than me. As a racehorse and a sire, just the durability of them, the state of mind, you know, the gamesmanship of them. But his one race in the middle, drawn 8 of 8, 25-1 the first quarter, you know, finished, was beaten 3.5 lengths or whatever to a solid field. But that race could have unfolded differently, or I think that it would be no doubt that Sonneman's a older handicap division stakes caliber horse.
Yeah, we'll keep watching for him and some of the options. I got to ask you about options coming out of Big Lake's allowance win. And this kind of went under the radar, Steve. But here's an American Pharoah that Mike Rutherford homebred out of the student council mayor. Resistivity. And did you train the dam?
Mark Cassie trained Resistivity.
You know, okay.
We had student council for
yes.
Millennium Farms towards the end of his career.
Yeah,
won the Pimlico Special. You know, solid horse, liked the distance of ground. You know, Big Lake's a very talented 3-year-old, as you mentioned, a homebred of Rutherford's. Very attractive individual. He's got good acceleration, and he will jump off into the stakes off of this, whether it be the Louisiana Derby or possibly the Rebel, which would give him another opportunity to mile on the 16th.
Nice. I'm glad I asked. You got an 81 buyer out of this, Johnny V riding, and it kind of fits a certain profile, Steve, of some of the other horses I want to bring up with you. We haven't had a chance to talk. And Swift Shore is going to have to stretch out. They actually – I was a little surprised that he was included in the Derby future wager. What's your thoughts after that nice win now it's a couple of weeks ago at Oaklawn?
Right. Extremely talented horse. Just an absolutely beautiful individual that solid maiden run, gave him plenty of time going back into his non-2, and he responded nicely. The horse is... what a different physical he is going into the start of this year, just how much he's grown up, filled out, absolutely, just come off the ground at least 3 or 4 inches in the last 3-4 months, and just looks like a completely different horse as far as our prospects of being able to stretch out. The interruption in weather, I think, will affect horses like that when you're looking for your next step. Hopefully we keep enough horses running that a solid race, 2-turn race would fill for him to hopefully get him in the mix at some point soon.
Steve, I want to give you a chance too, and maybe I should get Cash on. Talk about the AsmussenEquine.com and the presence in terms of ownership, and I know that there's some offerings as well that Cash is doing.
Yeah, it's awfully fun to have a good horse for your brother. He has this horse with Sienna Farms. Just a very nice individual and a top class horse that pressures on to manage him correctly.
Nice. Well, and speaking of some others, let's get a couple other favorites in here. And I want to ask about the 2 Smarty Jones placers, both Cowan and Big Thorn. Obviously, Cattle River ran off, but give us an update on the other pair.
Cowan runs in the 3-year-old race at Saudi on the 20th and feel great about his chances. Have Rispoli going over there to ride Cohen
nice.
in the mile, and then Max Player in the Saudi Cup. And so we have more than an exciting weekend coming up with hopefully getting the Oaklawn Stakes in, and then obviously the Saudi Cup as well as Cohen's mile, and then expecting a very good week at Sam Houston as well.
Well, we got the Texas Breds this weekend coming up at Sam Houston. Got to get some updates about a handful of others. You've been winning a lot of maiden races, and especially for the Leblongs. Update us on all of Alex and Joanne's recent breakthroughs, and Abrogate too. We got to catch up on.
Well, Abrogate, we're expecting to run Saturday in the Dixie Bell, which was postponed a week, which will actually benefit her from running opening week impressively in another dam at Oaklawn. And then, as you know, she also has Willing Woman, who's half the Everest Fast, who they're very, very similar to her sister, who we were fortunate enough to train for Clear Sky and win the Fantasy with her a few years back, and I expect Willing Woman to show up in the Honeybee.
Very nice. And along those lines, too, there's also the Foxy Dancer, Nyquist Filly, Willful Woman, the maiden winner 2 weeks ago.
Right. Yes.
Casual. What's up with Casual? Lady Tack Baby.
Get the Lady Tack Baby back to sprinting like she belongs, just like
nice.
Mama wanted. And she responded with a huge number in her condition opening week at Oaklawn. And I expect her to show back up in the spring fever the end of the month at Oaklawn.
Well, I've got so many, Steve. I want to ask you about this is another product that I'm sure is close to the barn's heart, the Tappet Filly, Hot Dixie Chicks, Pauline's Pearl won the maiden Thursday or Friday?
On Friday of this week. It's just a filly that's benefiting from stretching out of a Hot Dixie Chick, who, as you know, is absolutely brilliantly fast filly. But there is definitely some quality two-turn horses in the pedigree. And she ran a very respectable time and looked great going through the wire, with her final margin of victory, I believe, being four lengths. But she will obviously be ready and willing to pick up the slack for Clairiere and the colors if need be.
Nice, nice. I don't want to let Boldor go through the cracks either. That was a popular win. There were a number of handicappers that liked his chances in the King Cotton and came through at a nice price in a short field.
Yes, quality horse for the Oars that tried the three-year-old route races that has benefited from as an older horse. Backing up to sprints, two runs this year, two stakes wins, has reached a new level recently, and very good time to have a sprinter doing well with the sprint stakes schedule they have at Oaklawn Park.
Steve, one other stake winner, too, that we haven't talked about. In the fifth season, Silver State had to be happy with that effort.
Very much so. Horse with the just an absolutely beautiful individual, just a huge physical. Always been extremely high on him for the Winchells and the Hortons. Just got a three-race win streak going in and expect his next run to come in the Essex.
Well, no visit is complete without a nod and checking in on Clark Brewster's runners and a maiden winner for that Louisiana bred. The truth is the truth, the flat-out filly. What's next for her?
There is hoping for a conditioned allowance at the fairgrounds to go forward to keep her against state breds for the time being. But she was...
Why not?
Very impressive winner of her last race, but expecting to be able to run her before the month is out back at the fairgrounds. And Clark's had some recent winners at Houston lately, so it's always good to get him in the winner's circle.
Without a doubt. And one more recent maiden winner, Kentucky Summer, that Tappet colt, the four-year-old, but nice to you know, finally graduate.
Beautiful individual of Phoenix's, like you said, it'd been very difficult to get a two-turn dirt maiden race to fill for him, and when it finally did, he came through.
How much upside is there in him?
I think that he needed that run as far as to have success. This training only does so much for him, and he definitely has a bright future.
Well, Steve, a lot of good things, obviously, in the offing, and from the stakes level through to the allowance and maiden winners, and feels like, as you mentioned, big weekend ahead between Sam Houston and Oaklawn and the international opportunities. Safe travels for everybody. Hope everybody stays safe and warm through the difficult conditions, and we'll catch up again soon. I appreciate the extra time.
Okay, thank you. You guys have a good week.
Steve Asmussen, everybody, and obviously just a scary number of top performers that are either just coming off nice efforts or going to move into the next levels. I didn't even ask about a couple of other some of them, he had a bunch of maiden winners at Sam Houston. I'm sure some of those will show up. I haven't looked ahead yet to the Texas card coming up this weekend, but we'll certainly get with. Well, we'll have Nick. We're going to talk about today's opportunities, but we will check in with Chris Griffin later in the week on the Sam Houston. Yeah, there's another, there's like another five maiden winners that that I could ask about. Well, you heard Asmussen, who himself is quite impressed with Maxfield, who remains perfect, and Brendan Walsh is joining us now to talk about what might be next. Brendan, congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you very much.
You know, it's funny when he wins now, you see certain comments. I don't know what a horse is supposed to do. He's beaten everybody that they've lined up against him, and he doesn't necessarily do it in jaw-dropping fashion, or he doesn't do it, posting enormous figures, but he just keeps, winning and doing whatever you ask him.
Yeah, he does, Steve. He's the horse has done nothing wrong, and we won't worry too much about what people think of how he's doing it. he's impressed me enough anyway, so that's all that matters. You know, we're very, very, very happy. We're just delighted to have him back. Back in full health, and he's showing what we've always thought back along that he was capable of doing.
This is the first time since his 2-year-old season that he has put, two starts back to back without interruption. He debuted the maiden winner at Churchill and then went to Keeneland to win the Breeders' Futurity. And then came all the difficulties in California leading up to Breeders' Cup, the Matt Wynn victory in May, and then off until the Tenacious. So now he's got, seeming to have some momentum, as it were. Some thoughts. It's 48 hours since. How'd he come out of it?
Looks great, actually, Steve. He came out of it great. He wasn't back to the test barn after. He wasn't even blowing that hard. He didn't really get tired, and he seemed good and fresh. So we'll give him a few days here walking in the shed row and that, and then we'll bring him back to the track. Probably be Wednesday now because we're in for some bad weather tomorrow, and we'll go from there.
It's good to hear. And when it comes to the kinds of opportunities, you obviously, have got end of the year goals in mind, but you basically stay the course for now, and the New Orleans handicap, or do you give him a little extra time and point toward something back in Kentucky?
Yeah, I think so. We'll talk here now this week and obviously see how he comes out of it, but. There's lots of nice options here for the rest of the spring and into the summer. We really want to just try and get some continuity with him this year if we can, Steve. And I'm sure he'll take care of the rest. But we don't really have a plan for the next race yet. There's obviously a bunch of stuff going. We're kicking a lot of races around. But we should have more of an idea here in the coming week or so.
The opportunity to amass grade one type credentials has got to be a priority. And in fact, when you think about it, given Street Sense's presence, from a breeding standpoint, building up his resume, for the long term, it's got to be the operating maxim.
Yeah, I think so. You'd like to win. Obviously, we'd like to win at least another grade one with him as an older horse now. For obvious reasons. We're just thrilled to have him back, and I think he's just a nice horse. I'm very, very lucky to have him. He's just a cool horse to be around, and it's just been a great experience. So hopefully we'll have a lot of good days in the future as we move along with him.
Well, this is a pretty interesting scenario to have, you know, to have an unbeaten horse at this point. And, you don't worry about staying unbeaten. That's not the priority, but, you know, you just look forward, I think, in a lot of ways to, you know, some big confrontations, Brendan. I think when he gets those chances, you know, he's got the grade one. He's got two grade threes and the grade one Breeders' Futurity. So a grade one is an older horse, and you know some other a classic distance, I suppose. I mean, if we think about the end of the year, obviously one of the big goal for the calendar year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the main goal would be to try and set him up for the Breeders' Cup at the end of the year if everything were to fall into place and we can keep him healthy. It was nice to get this spring into him at the fairgrounds, you know, when we came down here, you know, he was still only a three times raced horse, so he was lacking in seasoning. And you know as well as I do, these older horses they need plenty of race experience, and that's what he didn't have. And I think it was nice to get these couple of races into him before he's beaten some nice horses down here, but before we start to take on the real, you know, obviously he shows up for a grade one or grade two, any grade at stake is tough to win. But, you know, if you're going to take on them big boys, you better have plenty seasoning in them. And that's the thing he didn't have coming down here. But now he's had two nice races, you know, two very good experiences where he was able to run out on his home track. And I think that's going to stand to him an awful lot as he moves forward.
Well, referencing Street Sense, you know, the idea of him amassing, you know, the kind of record that'll then essentially put him in position to, I mean, Street Sense has got to be approaching, let's see, he's got to be 18, probably, 18 years old, give or take. So the chance to kind of step in behind his own sire at Darley. And meanwhile, remains undefeated. Overall, Brendan, obviously a pretty good Saturday when we look through the stakes results. Moonswag, nice to get a placement for her in the Rachel Alexandra. And off the turf for Extravagant Kid, there was not going to be any catching Michelle Lovell, and Just Might, we talked to her earlier. And Temple City Terror with a tremendous effort in the Al Stall.
Yeah, no, she ran huge, Steve. I was pretty confident that she'd like the cut in the ground. You know, we had runner before with Given the Ground, even though I mightn't say it on her form. But she won with ease in the ground in Churchill last fall. And she was doing pretty good coming in here. But yeah, I mean, to be honest, she did surprise me how well she ran. I mean, to get three quarters of a length on Al's filly was a hell of a run. And she seems like she keeps improving. She's done nothing but improve since we had her. As a two-year-old, even just keeps improving, and I would hope that eventually somewhere along the line we'll be able to win a stake with the filly. But yeah, I mean, she's admirable. She's all heart.
Well, and we've got a partner, Chris, or Dave Brown, that is in our stable on Kid Chocolate, and he's got a hand in a bunch of Pocket Aces horses, so I'm sure they were delighted with a placement like that.
Absolutely, yeah, they're great bunch of people. It's a pleasure to train for, and it's great to see the filly getting results like that for them people. So it's great, and like I said, you know, as she moves on, she seems like she's still. She's still improving all the time, and I don't think she's plateaued yet, you know.
Nice. How about the 8-year-old extravagant kid? You stayed in, and he's run on the main track and actually run fine. He's better on the turf, but still managed to add to his record. He's amazing. That was his 49th career start, and his 36th career placement.
Yeah, no, he's a model of consistency, Steve. You know, he hit $1 million again the other day in earnings lifetime. So that was great to get up to that. I couldn't say enough about the horse. I mean, he shows up every time. Missed the break a little the other day for whatever reason. I think he just moved a little when they. They opened the gate and was a little further back than what we anticipated. But, the winner, all credit to him. He's been a solid horse all the time, and we've run against him a bunch of times with a couple of different horses. So he ran huge. I don't know that we've beaten him anyway, but our horse ran well on the dirt. You know, there were some other nice horses in there as well. Manny won that, so it was nice to get up and get a place when we couldn't win it. So, like I said, Steve, he's from when we claimed him way back until now, he's never let us down. He shows up every time. So just a great horse to have for a great client of mine. Mr. Ross has supported us literally since we started. So it's been great. We've had some good horses for him, and it's great to have had the kid. He's given us great fun.
Well, and I did see, speaking of Dars, Lontano won yesterday, right, at Gulfstream for them?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, his first, we bought him, I think we bought him at the November sale last year. The horse is in training, and his first start yesterday for us. He's a Florida bred A other than, and he won it and ran very well. So it was a good weekend all around.
Well, and I mentioned Moonswag placing Able at 24-1 to get Black Type in the Rachel Alexandra, and that's for the law firm of King Cone Bryant and Kirby.
Yeah. Yeah, the guys they were here over the weekend. Great people again, and we've had great fun with her because she's been very tricky mentally, Steve. She's you'd see her in the paddock there. She gets pretty wound up, and we've had to do a lot of work on her just to get her to settle down and relax. And she's a work in progress as well. I think every race she's getting a little better all the time. And she's bringing us out to the racetrack, and she's actually been a good filly now, and she's hard knocking, and hopefully again we can win a stake with her somewhere along the line.
Well, that kind of catches us up on the weekend. There's some things to look ahead to, which we'll talk about in a second. But I do want to catch up on some performances from the last, 2.5 weeks. And that includes a Fells win in the Marshawas River. But the horse that, there was plenty of discussion about going into the weekend was Prevalence, and an inclusion in the Derby future wager ends up taking a bunch of money. I don't know if you and the barn jumped in to get Prevalence down to 14-1.
I don't know about any of the other guys, but it wasn't me anyway, Steve. Coming from Ireland, we tend to stay away from the anti-post bets. It's a long ways away. So it's nice to see it. It's nice to see that people think highly of the horse. But we've got a long way to go yet. So I'm going to hold off on my betting interest for now.
He's worked a few times since the performance, since the win, and most recently, actually on Friday, sent him out 5 furlongs. Talk about preparations for Fountain.
Yeah, he worked on Friday and worked really nice, Steve. He came out of the race at Gulfstream the way you'd like a horse to come out. You know, he's he seems like he's you know, he's doing everything right so far. Yeah, like I said, he worked well the other morning, so you know, hopefully we'll have him back at the races here the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, so do you not have you know, a stake in mind, or you're gonna just kind of wait it out for now?
Well, I mean, you know, there's the obvious races in Florida. It was nice that he liked Gulfstream, because you know it can be a track that some horses act on and some horses don't. So it was good to see him there. So obviously we'd be kicking around, you know, the Fountain of Youth. There's an allowance race a couple of days before it. You know, so we'd probably like to run him back at Gulfstream if everything goes okay. You know?
Interesting. All right. So you're on the fence for now, anyway. All right. Interesting. We'll see.
We're all on the fence, too.
I love it. Well, the Medaglia d'Oro colt out of the Go Sapper mare, the Godolphin homebred, will watch, and certainly those that got down on the weekend, they're going to watch with interest and hope that you know, he takes the logical next step. How about looking ahead to tomorrow, and in kind of a unique situation, Brendan, I had Michelle Lovell earlier, and now you, Chris Block is next, and Al Stahl before we wrap up, and all four of you have horses in the Mardi Gras tomorrow, and I'm sure, like Michelle, you're hoping to keep this thing on the turf.
I don't know if you can hear it right now. I'm in the barn, but it is hammering down with the rain at the moment.
Holy cow, I can hear it. Yeah.
So I'd be surprised if it stays on the turf tomorrow season. Yeah. There's some horrible weather today and tomorrow. So I would be surprised. You know, that filly of mine, she's run on dirt before, and she's run well on it. She obviously works on us and works well on the track here. So, you know, I think if it does come off, we'll be fine too.
Well, yeah. Wow. I can, that's pretty funny. I can hear it pounding down, as we speak. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Ish, that's too bad. Well, Brendan, before we go too, how about a couple of the other stake runners in recent weeks, including Zafel's win in the Marshawas River?
Yeah, she ran great, Steve. She's really, you know, we gave her a little time off after she ran at Belmont last year in the Just the Game, and she's really come back. You know, she was a nice filly last year anyway, but I think she's really improved this year. She's gotten a lot stronger and just as a, you know, I just think she's a better filly. Her work had been excellent because we ran her soon enough at Gulfstream the last day. So when she came back, she hadn't been back with us in a terribly long time, but she had been working so well. I thought, well, let's give her a shot. So I think she'll improve a lot from it. She's been working well since, you know, so we'd probably have a good look at the mile race on Fountain of Youth Day as well with her.
Excellent. And since we're kind of rounding up some of the other runners from the early portion of the Gulfstream season, Cave Hill, that frosted colt that ran okay in the Dania Beach, worked yesterday.
Yeah, he did, and he's done nothing but improve since we ran him the first time. He won at Tampa, ran well in the stake at Gulfstream the last day, and we'll probably take a good look at the cold stake with him on the 27th as well, mile number 16.
Excellent.
Should be right up the street, but I think he's a horse that is improving physically. You know, he's a big frame of a horse, and he's starting to get stronger all the time. So, there's plenty to look forward to with him, too.
You know, Brendan, didn't... It, wasn't there another Godolphin horse named Cave Hill?
I don't know, Steve.
I think that Owen Hardy had the first Cave Hill, or a Cave Hill in the recent past. I'm almost positive this is a reused name, Cave Hill.
I didn't know that. No, I must look it up. Well, we might have to put a number two after him.
And I'm doing it now myself. It was Mr. Melnick had Cave Hill. There was a Jade Hunter gelding around 2000, 2001.
Yeah. I'm looking at it here. Yeah, Jade Hunter.
How about that?
In there. Yeah.
Three-time winner. The name just rang a bell. There was an international one, too. There was an Irish-bred Cave Hill. And if you go back to the 90s, there was the first Cave Hill was by Gilded Age. Pretty funny. A Maryland bro.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Brendan, to round things out, let me go back and I always get sidetracked. Doesn't take much to send me off, into the netherworld here of racing. How about the two maiden runners coming up? You've got Summer Palace. This is on Thursday, and then coming back at Fairgrounds on Saturday. No Pedigree.
Yeah, Summer Palace is he's been a hard knocking little horse. He's been running well, actually. I think he's hit the board nearly every time he's run since we've had him. So he's in again. We've had to scratch him, I think, twice already down here with rain, maybe three times even. We're a little unlucky with the weather with him, it seems. Whenever he's entered, it rains. But hopefully by Thursday, it'll have dried out and we'll get to run him. But, yeah, he's a nice horse, and he'll be there. Or thereabouts for sure. He's doing well, walking well. So looking forward, hopefully it'll dry up by Thursday and we'll get to run on the turf.
How about on Saturday? And I see that Plus Que Parfait is in as well in an allowance on Saturday.
Yeah, we've got Plus Que Parfait is in a 2X. He's doing well here actually at the moment. He ran well. He ran second to Enforceable his last start. And he's been working well since. I'd really like to win a race with him, just to raise his confidence level a little bit. He's been in all the big races of late, so it'd be nice if we could get a win with him on Saturday and then hopefully set him up for a good year. But you know, he's another horse. He shows up pretty much all the time, even. You know, I don't need to say what he's done for us in the past. He's just been a fantastic horse, you know. So
yeah.
Hopefully he can win another nice race somewhere along the line.
Well, and then finally you got the Louisiana bred, the 3-year-old by Half Hours. This is for you and Bottle Rocket and Mark the Temple. No Pedigree, which is kind of cute, out of an Into Mischief mare. Nothing wrong with that pedigree.
No, and he's a nice little horse. Doug O'Neill had him in California initially, and he sent him over here for a stake. And he ran well in the stake. He was only beaten 2.5 lengths in the Louisiana bred, the Louisiana juvenile. Obviously, he's still a maiden. Them guys were willing to sell him. It's always nice to have a decent Louisiana bred when you're at the fairground. So, he should have a good chance on Saturday, Steve. You know, he's been doing well too. So, we're looking forward to running him.
Well, a lot of good things happening throughout the barn for Brendan Walsh, and of course, you can follow Brendan on Twitter, Bren P. Walsh. make sure you log on and stay warm, stay safe, dry, everything else. Happy Mardi Gras, even though it's going to be subdued again this year for hopefully 2022 we can boot up a nice Mardi Gras, Brendan.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's been tough on the people of New Orleans, you know, this year having had the whole thing shut down. You know, it's obviously a huge deal down here for them. So hopefully, you know, like everything else in the world right now, hopefully things start to open back up here as we move forward. And, you know, we'd all love to get back to normality here, hopefully, as the year goes on.
Exactly. Brendan Walsh, everybody, and Maxfield stays undefeated. Prevalence possible for the Florida for the Fountain of Youth, and plenty of other options. And tomorrow, Intimistic back in the Mardi Gras, probably off the turf. Brent, I appreciate it as always. Talk soon.
No problem, Steve. Thank you for having me on.
Always great. Brendan Walsh, everybody. Let's take a break. 2 hours in. Got a busy third hour to come. We're going to check in with Chris Block, who is also involved. Pretty funny that four stake-winning outfits from Saturday in New Orleans all coming back in the Mardi Gras. We'll talk to Chris, see what he's doing with a winning envelope. And we'll also get an update on Charlie's Penny, who, of course, has got a little bit of a nick and had to come out of the Rachel Alexandra, but didn't stop Chris from winning the fairgrounds with Captivating Moon. Chris Block next, then Nick Tamaro will do some recapping of the weekend with Nick. He's going to look at the aqueduct sequence today. And then we'll close it out with little Al Stahl. Busy morning, Monday at the races. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 3-8-4-6-4-3.
Sirius XM Sports.